Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Sherry Lane, and I thank you for tuning in, whether you're tuning in live or you're listening in the archives. I thank you for being here. If it is your first time listening to this show, I'll give you a brief rundown. I usually have a general show topic. Today's show topic is avoiding the holiday muck to get to the holiday merry. So I'll get into that here in a bit. But a portion of the show is also devoted to opening up the lines for callers to receive on-air what I call mini readings, intuitive guidance from angels and spirit. And the way that I receive the messages, we're able to very quickly and succinctly usually get to some very good guidance. And I feel like my purpose and the focus of the messages I get is always geared toward your best steps now on your spiritual path. So while it can be a little bit of should I do this, should I do that, I always say I'm not a fortune teller. The messages I get are mostly focused on what is my best step now in my spiritual journey. So it can give you fabulous guidance and help zero in on the things that will affect your life the most profoundly. And so again, I thank you for being here. The topic, again, avoiding the holiday muck to get to the holiday merry. This is a wonderful time of year, this holiday season, Christmas, lots of joy. It's supposed to be about so many things, but there's the other side of it that can get very mucky at times. And I think especially, interestingly enough, on our spiritual journey, some of the obligations, some of the scenarios we're put in seems kind of backwards, but it doesn't always seem to support our spiritual journey. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I did a similar show with this topic last year around this time, and I was sitting here kind of in deja vu, and it just seems like that was such a short time ago. I could almost feel myself sitting here on the same topic just a short while ago, but it's been a year, and that kind of blows my mind, the way that time is speeding up, slowing down. It's like time isn't the same as it has always been, and I see that on a spiritual level as a very good thing, because in For example, the teachings of A Course in Miracles, we're taught that time is really just a teaching tool, and when we no longer need it to be that way that it's always been, then we begin to lose that feeling of time. And so if you sometimes feel like a week seems like a month or a week seems like a day and it all seems distorted, well, that's probably a good thing. If you've been on a spiritual path, maybe you're getting out of the place of time being what it always has been. And you can maybe skip forward and backward in your energy, and that can be a very good thing. But today's topic, holiday season, Christmas time, it brings up a lot of often family gatherings that can be very dramatic. We can, you know, even just feel the tension sometimes going into some of the settings, or even with friends, when you go more deeply down a spiritual path, the things that aren't serving you will kind of intensify or even grate on you. It's very hard sometimes to be in those environments. And I feel like so many times when it's this time of year, so many people get caught in the obligation of it. Well, I have to go to that event. I have to go to that family gathering. And if you're in, especially if you're in a precarious place in your spiritual journey where, you know, it's taken a lot for you to get there, and it's taken a lot of dropping the old ways and old patterns, and you feel this anxiety, then I say you really need to go within and discern whether or not it's going to serve you on your spiritual path to be as involved. And you may need to have a holiday season that is more filled with quiet time and less about gatherings and really going through those motions. Those kinds of things, especially when it's family or going home to a hometown and being in that environment, can sometimes energetically give us that jolt backward. And so I want each of us to, first off, surround ourselves with white light a lot during this season. Every day, every time you think of it, ask Archangel Michael to protect you in that white light. But I want to take it a step beyond into an empowered role of, I get to decide where I'll put my energy and time. And I don't have to participate in anything that doesn't feel right to me on that spiritual path. If I feel like it's going to drag me down, then I'll choose. And I won't feel like I have to do things just because that's how it's always been done. So I want you to do that. I want you to go within and discern the things that are going to bring you joy and the things that may bring you drama. Now, the other side of drama, or the topic of drama this time of year, is that sometimes it's an addiction. Sometimes we like the drama. Sometimes we are so conditioned about it that even though we're dreading, in some way, we're sort of looking forward to it. And you have to really go within and look your ego in the face and decide, are you kind of liking the drama? Are you? Because we do have a choice. We may pretend that we have no choice but to participate in, but you have a choice. So if you don't want the drama and you know something's going to be drama, then choose not to have the drama. Choose not to participate. Choose to participate in a very minor way. Be willing to walk away from something in a kind way if you can, and be willing to, when things begin to go in the way of drama, to walk out of it, to say your hellos, to say your holiday greetings, Merry Christmas, and then be on your way. So there are a couple of analogies that fit very well, I think, for this time of year. And One, and it's partly because we do go home to family. We do go home to our hometowns and people maybe that knew us in a different time, and then we feel this strange need then to be who we were, or we would feel worried about stepping out of that. And if you are true to your spiritual journey, you have to be strong here, and you have to stay on that path and not get pulled back off of it. So one of the analogies is the crabs in a pot. And you know, there's the old story or anecdote about that when you put crabs in a pot to boil them, to cook them, that if there are, you know, several crabs, that as the water begins to heat up, there will be, you know, a crab that decides that, hey, I better get out of this. This is not a good situation. And begins to climb out, you know, climb over the other crabs and reach out and come out of the pot. And that the other crabs will grab the crab and pull it back down as it tries to climb out. And that one is very much what sometimes we go into at this time of year. We go back into the scenario, our little, say, crab family. And you know, it's interesting how people won't want you to climb out, won't want you to rise above, don't want you to stay down with them, whether it's down in their troubles or down in their energy or in, say, a religious sense. They don't want you venturing out of their beliefs. Can be any number of ways, or I guess reasons why people do it, or scenarios that people do this, but it will completely jeopardize your spiritual path if you succumb to that, and if you don't realize that I am getting out. You can come with me or you cannot, but I am choosing my own path, and I'm going to choose what's good for me and what is not. So be aware of these things. Be aware of those triggers that drag you down into, say, the old drama, family drama, or old, let's say you're going home and you're going to see a lot of old high school friends, or don't get pulled down into that, into those games. If they don't feel right for you, make sure you either don't participate or that you choose that I'm climbing out of this. I'm not going to be caught in this. And there's a biblical reference to this whole going home, or how you're perceived in your hometown or your home environment. And it's when Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." And that kind of thing can definitely add to the struggles that you may go through when you are on a spiritual path. You're being this light, you're tuning into intuition and angels and spirit, and you're seeing things differently, and you want to share it. And sharing that new light and new way is what prophecy is all about. It doesn't have to be some, you know, one grand person that was a prophet, or some, I mean, we all can tune in that way and be that prophet of new ways and new ideas and new paths to God. And then when you try to mingle that with the way it's always been, and the thought that you were perhaps raised in, and what everybody else around you was raised in, and they don't like it when you're talking about something that's a little different, and they'll decide to gossip about it, put it down, jump on you, whatever. It's that hometown feel is hard sometimes to then be the new you, a new revived that has seen something greater beyond just what you've always been taught, or what the world has always said that this is supposed to be about, or that God's supposed to be about. So the other analogy, and I have to thank my friend Kathy for passing this one on to me. I've heard it before, but She passed on a passage that we're not sure who the author was, but it's kind of a one of those unknown authors. But I thought it was stated so well that actually I'm going to read it to you. And it's the boiling frog syndrome, very similar to the crabs in the pot, but I just thought whoever wrote this said it very well. So I'm just going to read it to you. Human beings and frogs are the two creatures in nature who have tremendous power to adjust. Put a frog in a vessel of water and start heating the water. As the temperature of the water rises, the frog is able to adjust its body temperature accordingly. The frog keeps on adjusting with increase in temperature. Just when the water is about to reach boiling point, the frog is not able to adjust anymore. At that point, the frog decides to jump out. The frog tries to jump but is unable to do so because it lost all its strength in adjusting with the water temperature. Very soon, the frog dies. What killed the frog? Many of us would say the boiling water, but the truth is what killed the frog was its own inability to decide when it had to jump out. We all need to adjust with people and situations, but we need to be sure when we need to adjust and when we need to face. There are times when we need to face the situation and take the appropriate action. If we allow people to exploit us physically, emotionally, or financially, they will continue to do so. We have to decide when to jump. Let us jump while we still have strength. I just love that, how that was phrased. And I think it's so appropriate right now when holidays surrounding it and the potential drama surrounding it. Know when to jump. Know when to say no. It's okay. You are being committed to your greater spiritual path and your greater purpose when you make those discerning choices. And when you go to Spirit and say, is this good for me? Is this good for me? Is this the time to jump out? Is this the time to crawl out? Pay attention to those that try to drag you back in like the crabs. And also pay attention when the heat is on to get out before you're sapped. Really important this time of year. And it can change. You can claim the joy that you should have this season, even if there's a lot of drama, because you can just say, I'm not going to participate in that or that or that. I'm going to participate in this and this and this. So I'm going to go to the first caller, and then we can come back to this topic some. I do want to say, I meant to say this earlier in the show, that last week there was a caller at the end, area code 928, and after the show and even the next morning, I felt like there were more messages for this person. Athena, I think, was the name, area code 928. And so on my Facebook fan page, I offered to do a further reading for this person because I just felt like there were some other things that were really just wanting to come through and it could be very beneficial. So if you're out there and you'd like to either call today during this show and follow up, or you'd like to email me and maybe set up a private session, I'm offering that to you free. My email is sherrilane444@gmail.com. That's sherrilane444 at gmail.com. And I'd love to be able to pick that up, and I think there are a few more things to come through. So, okay, the first call for today is it's one of those computer numbers, and I love it because it's 1111111111, and I love all those 11s in there because 11 is that spiritual awakening. So, okay, you're going to be on the air soon. Hello, are you there? Hello. Okay, that may have been a caller. I should have stated it. If you were calling, if you're listening to the show by calling in, that's fine. Because I don't have a producer, so I don't have a way to differentiate who is is calling in to listen versus who is calling in to call in. So occasionally we get people that were just calling in to listen, and I suspect that's what that particular call was. So feel free to call back in. You know, any of you want to listen this way, feel free to do so. And if you get put on the air, just say, I was just calling to listen, not to get a reading. However, I will say this. These readings are so much meant for your beautiful spiritual progress. And there's nothing to be afraid of in getting them. They come, when they come through me, it's very loving and non-judgmental. And it's all about a positive way of your best path. And I know it can be a little bit, you can be a little timid, or it can be a little scary to think about calling in and getting a reading like that. But they're all very loving, and you know, they can go as far as you allow them. If any point and it doesn't feel comfortable, you can just say that. But as I think back on most of the calls, they're usually very light filled, and even if it's a difficult situation, it's handled with such love and kindness from where I get the messages, and I just try to allow it to flow through me. And often when the show is over, I can remember that, oh, there were some good calls and that, but it usually not soon after, I just totally forget the contents, and that always makes me feel right, feel good. Like I was just letting it come through me. I was just letting the voice and the message come through me, and it does come through. My brain has to put it into words because so much of it is feelings or symbols, but it is just coming through me from a higher place, and that's what the whole objective is here. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-633-9823. If you'd like to call for your own intuitive mini reading, or again, you can listen that your computer, and you need to listen on your phone, and I happen to put you on the air, just say that, and it's all good. That'll be all fine. So I'm going to take a little break here, a little water break, and I'll come back. So I'm going to leave you with the lovely song from by Train, and it's called Calling All Angels. It's one of my favorite, about angels and how we're all called. And so listen to that, and then we'll be back. Again, the call-in number is 347-633-9823. I feel like there are some messages to come through for people that can be very, very helpful to you right now. So don't hesitate to call. Okay, and we're back. Thanks for staying with us. Okay, during that little break, I went to get myself some water that I forgot to have available here to, before the show. I was feeling before we took the break, there are some messages really dying to come through and some spirits that are really dying to have this avenue to get their message to whomever. And the callers, we don't really have the callers today. And it's funny because I knew before the show, I blocked out, even yesterday, a shorter amount of time because I knew this is going to be a shorter show. And, it stands to reason this time of year people get real busy too. But I also felt like I needed to do the show and that there were some messages ready to come through. And so during this break, it's interesting, and I don't know if there's going to be a listener out there that this will be beneficial to. So I'm just going to go ahead and put this message out there because it keeps coming through on a couple levels. It really just wants to get out there. So I'm getting a name like Marianne. I think it at least begins with Mary, but I don't know for sure. And this could be for the listener, Mary, Marianne, Mary Jane, Mary, I don't know. Or it could be that the spirit's name was this Mary sort of name, Mary, Marianne, Mary Jane. It's something in that area. And so I'm seeing kind of a little lady in the era, looks like probably 1950s. She's in a suit with a purse, like all fixed up, and kind of bouffant hair, but not real bouffant-y. And it feels like to me that in that era, she was probably maybe 40s, 50-ish at the time. And so that would put her probably as a grandmother figure for whoever this message might be trying to get to. And so I'm assuming a passed over grandmother. That would make her, I guess she would be like, 100-ish or a little over if she was still living. But I'm just guessing. I don't always get specifics on years or I get like just visions that make me think it's a certain era. So anyway, I also see a typewriter or a stenography machine. So I'm taking it that maybe she was a working girl in those days, a working lady. And I just felt I could see bright lipstick and specifically red lipstick, but I just wrote down lipstick and then I heard, no, red. And so this little lady is spunky and is really wanting to get through. And it's so funny that she said red because before the show, I've said this before on the show, how sometimes I pick a shirt, a color right before the show that just seems to be fitting for the show. And usually it somehow is. And I just felt so compelled to put on this red turtleneck before the show. And I thought, oh, it's holidays, red and winter, you know, like the cardinal and red, that feels just right. And because this show is about, you know, the root chakra is red and we have to ground and stay firm, like say an oak tree or, our roots. And so much about the talk today is about staying that strong and making our own decisions and being firm that way. But when I wrote down the red and underlined it about the red lipstick, it was kind of funny to me because I thought, oh, I think she's been hanging around here. She's the one that told me to put that red on. So if this applies to you, feel free to call in 347-633-9823. But I'm going to go ahead with the message anyway because I have a feeling there is someone that is listening now or that will listen later in the archives that this will have some meaning for. But the cool thing about it is so many times when these messages come through, they're meant for several people. And so you may, have something that clicks for you in this message, whether it's the person or just the message in general. So what I'm feeling from this figure is that even in the 50s era, she had to be a strong woman, a firm woman. I don't know if she was having to possibly raise kids alone or something like that, but she was a working girl. And the big message that's coming through is you don't have to be everything to everybody. And so I feel like maybe she wore herself out trying to be everything and do everything, and maybe even that she did that at the holidays. She worked and she had to put on the right holiday spread, and she was being everything to everybody, and everybody loved her for that. But that she really then didn't get to just enjoy it. So that's a good message for all of us. We get in this of how Christmas has to be, how the whole holiday season has to be, and the lights, the trees, the parties, everything's got to look just so. The tree has to look perfect. The tree has to be big, a certain size. And step out of that. Decide what you have the time and energy for, and let that be it. But enjoy every minute of it. Don't get pressured. I mean, I can look back on my life how many times I felt the need to make it so perfect in a certain way, and part of it was enjoyable, but part of it was just kind of wear you out. So I get this strong message here from this figure that may be named Mary, Marianne, or some name like that, or else the message is for the person named that. But I kind of feel like as I say that, maybe that was her name. And even the other layer of Mary, the mother figure. So I think she was a strong woman that was raising a family, and probably likely by herself or with, or largely she was the responsible person. And she's saying, you don't have to be everything to everybody. Relax and enjoy your moments too. Don't miss the moment because you're in the doing. And that's a great universal message for every one of us here. Every one of us. Okay. I hope that connected with somebody. I want to walk you through a few things that you may or may not be aware of how to connect with me and some of the things I'm doing. The number one place of connection is on Facebook, on a fan page called Seeing Miracles Every Day, A Course in Miracles. And I started that about 4 years ago, and I planned on doing it for a year and going through the ideas of A Course in Miracles, and not only A Course in Miracles, not everything specifically from A Course in Miracles, but that general idea of positive spiritual thought and our spiritual progression, letting go of ego. And the page just went so well that I continued it on, and without it being promoted or advertised, it's up to over 350,000 people. And I like to think of that as a central place where when we join together with each other in a space, whether it's a page or a room or a building, when we join together in a space like that, that we are connecting in heart and in spirit. And from that, miracles really can happen because we're collectively lighting the world. It's like the image of the one candle that lights another candle that lights another candle that lights another candle that lights another candle. And pretty soon it's all bright and glorious. And so that's how I like to look at that page. And I share the daily lesson from A Course in Miracles. And then I share some of my own thoughts and also from other people, things I see online, or I just like to, anything that's positive spiritual thought that seems to be along the lines of our own spiritual path, and encouraging that and lifting each other up. So if you're not already part of that page, again, it's on Facebook. It's Seeing Miracles Every Day, A Course in Miracles. If you just type in Seeing Miracles Every Day, it should pop up. And I'd love for you to like the page and be part of it, and even mark it as one of your favorites so you can see the daily inspiration. And by all means, tune in. I think every time you connect that way with a comment or a like, and you're acknowledging and connecting in a deeper way. And it's funny, I can feel it sometimes when I connect with people that way, in that small way of discussing things with them in the light. It's amazing how we can energetically connect these days. So do be a part of that. We've got a caller here, so I'm going to go to that, and then I'll tell you some other ways that you can connect with me or learn more about what I do. Area code is 317, so I'm going to put you live now. Hello?
Hi, Siri. It's Cheryl from your Angel Touch group.
I didn't recognize your area code. It's always good when you call. I'm so glad you called.
Oh, bless your heart. I was trying to hold back because I sometimes am very talkative. But I think the Mary message hits home for me, so it's very interesting. And I just felt compelled. I had to check it out.
Okay. Well, now, when you say hits home, is there a person that it makes sense that that message might be for you?
Yes, not somebody that I would expect to hear from, but your description fits.
Uh-huh.
And,
well, and it's funny, Cheryl, a lot of times, let me real quick say, a lot of times I notice when I do readings for people, it's often very unlikely people that they never would have thought of that come through with the messages that are the most important. And I always find that really interesting and just cool, like how much we're all connected, even the people that we think are kind of a side note. Now, you can tell me how you felt the connection.
Well, just interesting. Fell into the muck of the holidays for Thanksgiving. You know, I've been through your class and the attunements and feeling like I was, you know, moving to that new level. And then it's so crazy interesting how you step back into your childhood home and everything falls apart, or you fall back into that muck. And kept trying to avoid it this Thanksgiving holiday, but it still erupted. But what's been beautiful, and I think what people should hear, is that if we have courage enough to look at our issues and challenges and these things, what I'm finding is that awakening and discovery is helping me get out of it quicker now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still learning how to change.
Me too.
But it's been this process that we've gone through together with you, Sherry, it's quickened. It's faster. You know, in the past, I've dwelled in the misery for a long time, but this, you know, the awareness came, you know, the next day, and I'm working through it. But the message is so perfect for me, even if it's somebody else's message. It's don't try to be everything to all people. Mm-hmm. And the message is really coming through today. I was processing all of this that happened. And one of the messages in my reading that was so wonderful, we've talked about forgiveness and it's, you know, for our own benefit to let go of things in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what the message for me that was so perfect is, if we don't forgive, if we demand perfection from the other person that we feel did us harm, then we will demand perfection from ourselves and we will always be miserable with our life.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a huge 2x4, you know, hit me in the head.
Yeah.
And so then your message from Mary just reiterated things.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, you know, the forgiveness thing too, at its root, it's really always about forgiving ourselves, because when we have to point out the flaws in other people, somewhere down inside, it's because that makes, if we can point out, well, I'm not as bad as she is, you know, it's sort of like we're having to soothe ourselves because we can't forgive and we can't. And so we get into this jumble of, I think that's where so much of judgment comes from. When you have to judge another, it's really because you can't face yourself and feel good.
Right.
And we have to just let it go, because when God sees us, God just sees the beautiful part and not this ego stuff that the world, this mess we've gotten ourselves in our thinking. And when I have messages for people or do sessions, what I see is, even sometimes when I'm delivering something that might be taken by the person with some resistance or even irritation, it's like, I'm seeing it with no judgment. To them, it may come out like, as well, that's a criticism even sometimes, but it's like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. I'm seeing it as so perfect.
That's our perception that's reacting to the message, not yours.
Yes. And it's like, but if I could just describe to you how I'm seeing it versus how you're feeling it, it's completely different. It's like laughter and funny and, you know, and just happiness and joy about it. It's not, and we take everything like a must have come short of living up to something. So I always wish that people, and I think everyone can get to that place of seeing in those eyes that are really the eyes of God and heaven and spirit, because when I see that way, it's the coolest thing ever. Everything's funny. Everything's
Well, your messages and your show are always pure of heart. I think you said it really well that we have triggers, and as messengers of light, we don't know what those triggers are. And we're trying to convey, you know, a love and acceptance, but we don't know how someone will respond to that. But you're always pure of heart and true to what is coming through to you. And I think, you know, if people can not be afraid, what is it? I think a lot of us just work so hard to try to avoid pain and think that if we go there, that's all we'll feel. But if we work with someone like yourself, who can get us through to the other side of it, to get more perspective and love and light on it, it's so healing.
It is, and then, you know, you still have those, the triggers or those things that kind of lure you back into the old.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have to stay aware, but what I find is, and I think it's twofold, I think, it's something about the overall energy right now. Enough, I guess, light bearers, light workers, whatever you want to call, things have shifted, and the world itself there has been a shift where, to me, it's happening faster and we're more aware overall because of the collective. But then as we've walked through that environment and we've become more accustomed within ourselves, our individual self, then we also are more quickly able to see it and get through it. So we're getting stronger on the individual level, but that, just like the candles I was talking about, that has also made everything stronger and more visible on a more collective level if we're willing to tune in that way. So it's really good what all is happening. I mean, it's amazing what all is happening in energy and light. But we will get hit with those triggers because the frogs and the crabs and the, you know, that way of thinking will always try to, you know, that's ego trying to keep us trapped in it. So,
well, the analogy for me, you know, we all want a quick fix and the pill and something that will just bend it and so forth. But the analogy that's helping me stay strong in it or just stay present is the analogy of peeling an onion. I've had many years to collect these experiences and different ways of ego challenging me, and it's coming quicker now. You know, I'm getting to the core, the special part of the onion, but I still have a little bit more peeling to do. You know, and that's what life throws at us, or the triggers come, but it's not nearly as painful. You know, as when it first started, you know, it's like, okay, that's what that is. So awareness is a beautiful thing.
I want to ask you, Cheryl, because I don't know this about you. Do you sing?
Yeah.
Okay, because I just felt that like that you are a singer and sing more your voice. Let your singing be part of your voice and your sharing feeling.
I'll ask the angels to give me courage because I've always had stage fright. But
I was feeling that, and I would tell her to sing. She has the voice of an angel if she will let it come out. So
I have always wanted to sing and share, and I've always been challenged with nerves and and fear. So I'll work on that. And I'll ask
I
angels
am feeling that so much for you and those chills that come up. Like, tell her to sing. She was given a beautiful voice. Tell her to sing and not be scared. So so that's
if,
now your,
you
one of your little challenges to work on for your best step now.
Hey, if you don't mind, just a quick minute on Mary. I'm so curious about the connection. She was a great aunt. She was very much she wasn't real close, but I always was curious about her.
She was named Mary, right? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Her name is
okay.
Mary. She was an independent individual, but she was very quiet. I didn't get to know her till she was in her 80s or later. But I always thought of her as being dressed well. And she did when she was younger. I think she was a phone operator, like a lot of women at that stage, you know.
Okay.
And she's not, I can see her, I can guess her personality more because of my grandfather and the similarities. She was so quiet, but yet she was like a Cheshire cat sometimes. She'd say something profound and then she'd just get a little smile. So that spunky that you mentioned.
She had I can feel a spunkiness and kind of wise beyond her years.
And straightforward. You know, she wouldn't say much, but that statement would be very point on.
I can feel her spunk and also just a wisdom, and I guess part of the spunk that I was feeling too is that, you know, she was a working girl. She was out there. She got the job done. She could hang with the best of them in that way. So her spunk that I'm feeling is a lot like just the you know, she wasn't afraid to be out there taking care of business. So it's kind of funny, like I could see her in sort of that old setting, like a, you know, clerical, like, you know, that old sort of machinery. And it's funny that you say she works for the phone company and then I was just kind of laughing like, so she's still up there connecting people with messages and communication.
Yes.
It's her specialty.
Doing her thing. Oh,
she did her specialty then and now she's doing it
now. So funny.
So,
well, even
seems
going
like
to
it's a
home.
Really delightful kind of energy. And
one I wished I had known better. When you're younger and it's a reserved personality, you don't always get that interaction. And now I would have been able to appreciate her more.
You can still appreciate her now. Maybe she's probably been around you lately more than you realize. So maybe she's the one pushing you to sing. You know, I was just feeling it like, sing! you have a voice. You're given a beautiful voice, so sing. And I know what you mean that
very
I would
good.
Be terrified to sing, but I have a feeling you have an angel voice inside you and you just need to let it out.
That's very good. Now, well, thank you so much.
Do you know?
Pardon?
Did she sing at all? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question. I'll have to check in with my grandmother.
Okay.
My grandmother's still alive at
all. Or maybe she had a nice voice and she just didn't sing, and maybe that's why she's pushing you.
Could be. I don't know. I'll check.
Okay. Well,
thank you
know, so many of these things, too, are like metaphors and, you know, sort of like Jesus used the parables. It's like also all of us need to sing, whether it's actually singing in, you know, in music or just, you know, like Wayne Dyer says, don't die with your music still in you. And I forget where that original quote was from, but he uses that one a lot. Don't die with your music still in you. And we all have music in us. It may be musical or it may be art or words or whatever. But
I think that's so true for me that I've always been struggling to find my voice and honor that voice. So it makes absolute sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, I'm glad that Aunt Mary came through.
Yeah, thank you so much, dear.
If I were you, I would sit with her some, and because she just seems delightful to me. Like
I will.
Okay.
She her whole background speaks to me. So thanks so much for the gift.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Cheryl.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, that was a lovely call. I love it when Cheryl calls in. What Cheryl was speaking of when she was saying the classes she's been doing with me is that I put together an angel energy sort of method, and it was really just, you know, I've shared a lot how Reiki means a lot to me and any of that kind of energy work. There's so much power in it, and when I first had my big awakening, that was one of the most prominent things that came through to me, Reiki and energy work and healing work, hands-on healing. And at that time, too, I received in this whole message kind of way these symbols that I knew there would be some new method that I would put together for people that was a form of energy work that utilized these symbols and that were a little bit more in the Judeo-Christian mindset, although all of the energy work is really just rooted in love, unconditional love. So it doesn't matter which avenue we choose, if it leads us to that love or it leads us to that love flowing through us, if that is the real purpose, then it all works. So I started this group, and I did some audio classes and shared the symbols and did attunements, went through a process to tune people in, and all of it was at a distance. So I did this trial group because I had done the attunements on people in person, but I'd never done one by distance. But then my thought process in that and what just came to me is it doesn't really matter. It's all tuning into energy. And if you have the intention and the will, then you can tune in that way. And that's why distance healing and prayer from a distance can work and does work. So anyway, Cheryl was in that group and it was a pretty big group. And then I did the initial like introductory and then started a smaller group for the second level, people that were really intrigued by it and wanted to go a little bit further with it. And so it's been really amazing how the energy can work, how the combined energy of people joining together in their hearts and in love. And it's been very moving and profound for several of us in the group. And a lot of it is that when we join with other people with that intention and pureness of heart and we join in a pure way ourselves, then it's all magnified. You know, it's like instead of one candle, we're 10 candles. And so it's really been a beautiful process. Now, like I said, I did it as sort of a trial. I wanted to try out how can it work, you know, at a distance. And I've just been amazed at how well it has. And so now one of the things I'm working on is trying to put it together in like an ebook form or a book form that would also have some accompanying audio and that really would be available to anyone to tune into and read about and learn about and practice energy work on their own anytime and anywhere. And so that's all really exciting, the direction that could take. So Cheryl's been a big part of that, and I thank her for that. She's a sweet, sweet soul. And I feel really blessed to know her and meet her. And I knew that right off. It's so funny with some of the people that I call my spiritual soulmates. I get to sort of click and know, like, oh, okay, we're meant to be on this path together, and we're going to journey together. And sometimes it's small journey together, sometimes it's longer, you know, and some of that's free will and some of that is just that, you know, what we were meant to do for each other has been done and now we go our separate ways and we're both going out there in light and it's really cool. But that group has been wonderful. I'm trying to put it together so that it can be made available more at large for anyone at any time when they want to tune in. But I will tell you a few things. The actual classes and things I did in private audios just for the people involved. But I did some very general things that was leading up to us being able to tune into this energy. And that's real important because you can ask, but sometimes you have to also be willing to clear away kind of your own muck or, you know, the things that you've carried with you or areas, clear your chakras, get them aligned right. So there are three audios in the archives here of this show. And so you can go to the archives and you can do them at any time you wish to. Here's the order that I would recommend you doing them in, and there's a reason for that. The first one is energy clearing, and it's a meditation. If I remember right, it's about a little under an hour, and it walks you through your energy centers or chakras, and walks you through each one with some affirmations for each to clear and get them strong. And it's been very, very effective for the people in those groups, the feedback that I've gotten, and I know it's been very effective for me. I go back and do that fairly frequently to try to clear. And so that's the energy clearing meditation. You'll see it in the archives. The second one that I would recommend is the cord cutting. And what that is, cord cutting is asking angels and spirit to sort of take charge and cut away the things, the situation, even the people that aren't serving your highest good right now. So it can seem like that's being harsh, like, oh, I'm cord cutting, what am I'm cutting that person out of my life or whatever. No, it's not. You're asking angels and spirit to cut away what is not serving you right now and do it in love. So, for instance, in a situation like a relationship or, people around you, you do a cord cutting, sometimes they will just sort of voluntarily, mysteriously, but not so mysteriously, kind of sidestep and walk, move away from you. That's angels at work taking care of that because it's something that's not serving you. And you do it in love for both parties. It may not be serving the other party. It also doesn't mean that you don't speak to them or you never speak. What it means is any negative energy attachment that we have, whether it's a shared pain or resentment, then we're going to remove from that because now I can grow and let my light build. And then even possibly that will heal the situation where this relationship can be a better situation for both. So cuts you away from things that you may not realize may be getting in your way, and that is the surrender to angels and spirit. So the cord cutting meditation is very, very valuable. I will say always in a cord cutting, surround yourself in white light because sometimes after the cord cutting, you might get what feels like upheaval. And in fact, most times you'll get something that's like, whoa, I didn't know that was coming. But it's all for good if you'll stay with it. The third meditation that I would recommend, and you know, the first is the energy clearing, second is the cord cutting, and the third and very, very powerful one, especially if you do them in this sequence, is the forgiveness meditation. It is also in the archives, the show archives, as an audio. And it is about going beyond the cutting away from things that are painful or haven't served you or are holding you back, whether it's just holding on to lingering pain, and forgiving everything. And as when I was talking to Cheryl, as Cheryl brought up about the forgiveness and how it's really about ourselves, that's what the forgiveness meditation is about. It's about letting go of holding on to those things that hold us back, letting go of it and forgiving, seeing it in peace, seeing it in love, seeing even just for that moment through the eyes of God where it's all okay and we don't need to make somebody else wrong or point the finger or blame. And that opens the way then for us to see ourselves that way. And that's what we're most lacking in being the light. We don't see ourselves that way. We've even, many of us, been taught in religion that, you know, it's bad to see yourself as good and wonderful. You're supposed to see yourself as always falling short and you're not good enough and you're sinful and you, how dare you think. So we have to move beyond that to see ourselves in God's eyes, which is beautiful and all is forgiven because all of this other stuff, somewhere deep down, what it really boils down to is ego, and it's not even real. It feels very real. The hurt, the anger, but we've gotten ourselves into these webs and cycles of belief that then lead people to do mean things, hurtful things, sometimes even just horrendously bad things to other people. It's their own hurt, but it's collectively all of our own hurt and all of our succumbing to all the negativity and the fear, the fear, the fear, the fear, the fear. You know, think about how much we get, whether it's in social media, on TV, just, you know, every news story, it's about fear, what we're supposed to be fearful of, all the bad things. And, well, not all of the stories, but, you know, if you tally them up, we are taught much more about what to fear than we are about what to love. We're shown that. We're bombarded with that. That's why we have to stay diligent in seeing everything in love and seeing everything back to love. If we can't see love in the act or the situation, we can step back from it and see it back to love. What happens if we back it back to love? Then the hatred, the violence, the blame, the anger can disappear. If we back it back to love, which is the source of what we all are, it's the source of all that is. It is what God is. So our journey is simply back to love and where we begin to see everything else back to love. If we can't see it as love in that moment, we can see it back to love and take it back to love with us in our hearts. And that's really what our challenge is. Our challenge is to be happy and love. And that's what our purpose, happiness, joy, love, all those things, to find the way to let those shine through brighter than anything else and to the point where they extinguish everything else for ourselves and for those around us. That's our call now, and that's why it's so important at this time of year when you go and you get pulled back into the old dramas and who you were, what you were taught you had to be, or you're supposed to think about everything, and people that don't want you to get out of that. This is really just a time of year where all of that is on, in a heightened way, and we have to be sort of on alert and willing to step out of it and go to that, to love, and be willing to love ourselves enough to say, I'm not going to subject myself to that. I'm going to discern. I'm going to choose. I don't have to do and be everywhere that everybody tells me I'm supposed to or I owe it. I'm going to choose the ones that feel right to me. And when they begin to not feel right, I'm going to surround it in light. And if I need to, I'm going to walk away. So be strong. Choose for yourself. Choose your spiritual light over all the ego ways that will surround you. Don't fall into the backward trap. You've journeyed the spiritual path. Don't take 10 steps backward in this season where it's so easy to do that. Be strong. Surround yourself with white light. Ask Archangel Michael and all the angels, any angel you feel connected to surround you and protect you and show you your best steps. And remember, like Aunt Mary said, you don't have to be everything to everybody. You don't have to do everything that everyone expects you to. Just let yourself enjoy. And what you are not enjoying, step away from, and toward what you are finding joy in. This is a season to be joyous. So be joyous. I'm going to conclude this show. It's been a shorter one, but a great one. I think it's an important one. And I think that there are going to be at least a few people that are going to hold stronger through this holiday season and find the joy and not get pulled back into the boiling pot. I'm going to conclude with one of my other favorite angel songs, Calling All Angels, from the movie Pay It Forward. Great movie if you haven't seen it. And this is by Jane Seabury and Katie Lang. And beautiful. Listen to the whole thing. And it will lift up your vibration and make you stronger for this season so you can live in joy. Have a great rest of the week.
one foot then the other as you step out on the road. Step out on the road. How much weight, how much weight? Then it's how long and how far and how many times. Oh, before it's too late. Calling all angels, calling all angels, walk me through this wild, don't leave me.
Walk me through this world.